your source for all things Texas Tech. This is the Ask Level Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome into another episode of the Ask Level Podcast. Alongside Chris Level, I'm Choice Woodman. This podcast, as usual, brought to you by our friends at Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Fun time of year for sure. I say that a lot, but this is one of my most favorite. Just be, March Madness, man. I mean, it just doesn't get any better, especially when your team is relevant and coming off of a monster win to end the regular season. And you've got a chance to make a little bit of noise here, maybe a lot. I don't know. But, this is it's fun because there's been other years where I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just packing one outfit to go into Kansas City, and then that's it. Kind of thought process, but this is not one of those years. I think you have some opportunity to make some noise, like I said, and then improve your situation, and then we get to wait on Sunday to kind of see where you're headed.
Yeah, you're exactly right. This time of the year, you're a sports fan, especially a college sports fan, it doesn't get much better than this. So it's a blast. And that atmosphere, we've talked about it over and over, but you can't take that stuff for granted because we've experienced the lean years of Texas Tech basketball and Texas Tech sports. But that atmosphere against Baylor on Saturday is just, it's unreal. I mean, you get into it, it's goosebumps. And I think it does help your team push to a victory over a very good Baylor team. So I was there. I came in, I was calling baseball, and then I came in probably 10-minute mark in the first half.
So. Yeah, I hope people don't ever take that for granted. And it's kind of easy to do when you kind of get used to it.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean – kids are gone for spring break. There was enough students there and just, I think some other people had filled in the student section, but it's just like when you go on that 13-3 run with about 5-4 minutes left in the game after Baylor had kind of taken the lead and you're thinking, uh-oh, and then you just start bombing threes in transition. I'm just like, that is just awesome. I mean, and that place is just coming unglued. I have thoroughly enjoyed this year.
Yeah.
I have a unique seat in this aspect, but I have thoroughly enjoyed watching Grant and AC and Coach Smart and Coach Barnwell and Coach Breyer and all those guys that have been, mid-major guys or sitting on a sitting somewhere different like Grant was at Baylor when, the environments weren't the same at Ferrell Center as they are at the new Foster Pavilion, even in Waco. But like seeing them get to enjoy and use that environment toward their benefit has been really fun for me because like AC has told me, I interview an assistant before every game for part of my broadcasting duties. And like, it's fun to like, listen to them go, man, I used to just watch the Big 12 as just like a junkie and it's in like from afar and have this respect for it and all that. And he goes, now I'm watching these games knowing we're in the middle of this deal. And he goes, it's a blast and it's not easy. But watching them kind of embrace the environment of your fan base and just what has been created here, that Tubby really initially started and created Beard push it to a different level and you've still maintained a lot of this. It's just it's a blast. Season tickets are very difficult to get. People always want tickets. They want to be in that environment. And it's just like the juice. It's why we love sports so much is those kinds of Saturday afternoons.
Yeah. I mean you're exactly right. And Grant McCaslin, year one, I don't think anybody could have imagined a better year one for Coach McCaslin. Obviously it's not done. So you've still got some meat left on that bone to try to have a good March and make this thing last as long as possible. But finishing in a tie for third place, you look at the company that's around Texas Tech in the Big 12 standings, it's pretty amazing to see what he's done with this team. And I think it is all the way in. Most fans are all the way in on what Coach McCaslin has done this year.
Yeah, and I think the best thing you can say about a coach in any given year, and we just have the small glimpse with Grant here, but the best thing you could say about a coach is, does that coach maximize the potential of that particular team or individual players? Like, are you squeezing everything you can out of what you have? And there's going to be some times in the very near future where you have more to work with, a healthier team to work with, more depth, size, whatever you want to point to, talent, I don't know. But because I still maintain that last year's team had more talent than this year's bunch does. But the way that Grant has squeezed and maximized a lot of what this group was capable of has been a lot of fun to watch, man. And these are seasons where you can really appreciate what is being done or where you go from here, even if it doesn't end like you want it to, because I think he's kind of taking you on a bit of a ride here that I think he may not feel this way, but I think a lot of us, this is a bit unexpected or certainly much better than one would have thought when you saw he's a group of five coach. What are we doing? Or, oh man, yeah, that's great. You got a guy that wants some NITs or whatever. You know, it's like, okay, who, you know, and I think you're seeing right now the dude can flat out coach.
Yeah.
He coaches hard. He coaches his coaches hard. Mm-hmm. He's not a jerk about it, but the guy, it wants to win desperately. And he's got a great way about him to get to that point. But yeah, I think he deserves a tremendous amount of credit. He's not going to win many Coach of the Year awards, but the fact that he's in the conversation in a lot of these things, because, you know, I mean, I agree. I mean, Kelvin Sampson or TJ Altzelberger, maybe even Mark Pope at BYU, based on where they were picked to finish in the season, certainly belong in that conversation, and understandably so. But what Grant's done with this team, considering all the context with the injuries and all those things, I just think it's been pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. A lot of questions, basketball questions, other questions. So we'll go ahead and dive in there.
Let's go.
Kelly had several himself on Twitter. He said, how would you rate Coach Mack's first season in the Big 12?
I think I'm right in saying this, but I'll just offer this up to you. I don't think Jamie Dixon's a really good coach, has turned around TCU from the doldrums. He was phenomenal at Pitt.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever had anything above 500 record in the Big 12 in all the years that he's been there.
You're correct.
And I think you're going on 7 or 8 years now. Mm-hmm. And Grant McCaslin does it in year one.
Yeah.
I would say it's a 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like way above it.
Yeah.
And there's nobody that's going to dispute that this was the best, deepest league in the country. You may want to like try to make arguments for other leagues, or you may try to purse through it and say, well, how many really national title contenders do they ultimately have, or however many different ways you want to look at it, but best, deepest, check. I mean, and yet he went 11-7 and was essentially tied for third. It should tell you a lot about what you want to know. Again, it's all about context too. When you consider you're undersized and you missed your biggest player of that league season, and you still managed to squeeze everything out of it. And I think he's done a phenomenal job. I can't, you know, and I think they have been through it now. They know what they need to address in the off season and know kind of what it's going to take to to get your way through this league if you want to compete to win the league. And that's his ultimate goal. And he's going to continue to talk about it very vocally because that's the – but, I mean, as far as, like, the job that he's done, I just don't know how you could come away going – and I'll say, okay, the Cincinnati game at home, maybe not your best game. That was maybe like I guess on paper, your worst loss. You kind of – I don't want to say no-showed, but you got blitzed by Texas, which was very painful for all of us involved with it. But since then, you've won three straight. And short of that, you really didn't no-show at any point the rest of the year. You won the games you were supposed to win. You won some games you weren't supposed to win.
Sure.
And that's also a sign of quality coaching, too, is that you had your guys ready to go night in and night out, which is very difficult over a 3.5-month period.
This one from Leah on Twitter says, I'm confused how Texas Tech's win over Baylor didn't make us the 3 seed. Can you explain, please?
Yes, I can. So when you're tied with a team like you were with Baylor, you're both 11-7. Basically, what they're going to do is they're going to go, okay, well, who finished above you? Right now, that would be Houston and Iowa State. What is your record over those against those teams, and whoever has the best record there would move on, and you lost to Iowa State and Baylor beat Iowa State. The end.
Yep. So that makes it.
Yeah, that's what breaks the tie. That's kind of how it would go. And then there's, if you can't break the tie in that way, they you keep going to different things, to ultimately break it. But that's what broke this tie, is that, Baylor beat Iowa State there in Waco, and you obviously had the game in Ames that you lost. And so that kind of is what breaks that one.
Another question from Leah says, is Kerwin Walton coming back? I've heard him referred to as a senior, but didn't see that he went through senior day.
Correct. He's got another year. And I think they would like to have him back. I unless something, as we talk about roster and off season, you just never know. So I want to make sure that we are clear there.
Very fair.
You never ultimately know team want or coaches want, player want, NIL factors into this deal. There's all kinds of things, and you're going to get some sort of surprise, maybe good, bad, indifferent. I don't know, but
maybe both.
Yeah. You just don't ultimately know what your roster is going to look like. Is it this, the space changes a lot, but I think all things being equal, I think that I'll be surprised if Kerwin is not back next year. And I think, and that's the kind of, that's a perfect example too, to speak to what Grant has done with this team. There were people that like were trying to shove that kid out the door, like fans, myself or whatever, like he can't play.
Yeah.
And he still, does he struggle to rebound? Yeah. Does he struggle with his defense at times? Yeah. But did he provide to be a very quality piece for you? Oh, yeah. In fact, you could make the argument that he had the two biggest shots on Saturday versus Baylor with transition threes.
Yeah.
And it's like he woke up choosing violence and decided to go bombs away. And I mean, and it's just, they figured out a way to squeeze everything they could out of Kerwin and create a very valuable piece to the rotation,
sure.
A starter, in fact, because he's who entered the starting lineup when Devin Cambridge went out. And, he's averaging about 8 or 9 a game, and he's a valuable piece to a team that's going to go to the NCAA tournament. And I hope that that he is back. And, that hopefully that answers that question.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's hit some of the biggest threes you've had this season. Just big moment threes and just, yeah.
Yeah, it's like last year choice. I mean, I think he played well in Baton Rouge against LSU. He had a few brief glimpses where you're like, okay, this is what. But then it's like we got a glimpse of him in late November, early December, and he started putting the ball on the floor and going to the bucket and kind of showing you there's a little more to his game and was beating people in a variety of different ways. But my favorite part about Kerwin, for the most part, there's been some games where he's just kind of hadn't done much, but for the most part, he's been pretty consistent with it. That's the hardest thing to do in all of sports. Easy to get good, harder to stay good.
Yep.
Easy to have a good game or a monster game, harder to do it all the time. And the way we would talk about his game is he's been pretty consistent. And that's That's very difficult to do because guess what? His shooting percentage and what he does well is on everybody's scouting report.
Yeah.
It's harder for him to get looks off that are uncontested, and you start using him on underneath out of bounds plays and people start to cover that, and then you have to adjust. And yet he continued to figure out ways to help his team, even though the opposition was don't hand down man downs, man. Can't allow them. And yet he's still shooting at about a 50% clip from three, which is wild to me.
It is nuts. Yeah. To expand on that for Leah, I believe we only have three guys that have no eligibility left for after this year, correct? Which are Warren Washington, Damarian Williams, and Joe Toussaint.
I think Damarian has another year.
Does he have another year? Okay.
I think so. He did not go through ceremonies either, but he's somebody that I would think maybe, you know, seeks more playing time elsewhere. Or I think that, yeah, that may be, I don't want to speculate, but you know, he hasn't played much at all. And I, you know, so we'll kind of see where that one goes.
So two guys then.
I'm just going off of senior day ceremonies because I think that Damarian has.
I think
he and Kerwin are like they've got a COVID year maybe is in there.
Okay, that makes sense.
So
you get a lot of opportunity to have guys back from this roster. I said opportunity because we never know what happens. But Roberto asks this also from Twitter, says, is it a cause for concern level that Tech men's basketball hasn't signed or even received a commitment from a 2024 recruit?
I know there's people are either on one side of the fence or the other with this. And the question being posed here by the person that asked it may be just kind of curious more than anything, but I've seen a lot of, chatter amongst fans on Twitter or RedRaiderSports.com, whatever it is, like, I don't know if he can recruit or, hey, calm down. It's fine. Like, you know, but portal season's coming up, whatever. I'm just going to go back to what Grant said last summer. At every speaking engagement that he had, people were very concerned, like, dude, when are you going to put a staff together? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why no movement here? Like, are you hiding something? What is there some, you know, whatever it may have been, people were like, because he took over a bit of a mess and people were worried and concerned about the basketball program. And he repeatedly would say to people, we know what we're doing. And I think he really meant, I know what I'm doing. And I think some at the time were like, okay, we'll see. Guess what? I think he may know what he's doing. I'm going off of the data, the body of work here, the win-loss column. That's what I'm going off of. But I think they purposely didn't sign anybody in the early period because they weren't big fans of this particular class of seniors from a high school standpoint.
Yeah.
I think they wanted to use an old Dallas Maverick trade deadline salary cap term. They wanted to keep their powder dry for use in the late period as it relates to the portal.
Right.
You can't, I think you have to be very careful about being all high school or all portal. I think it's a healthy mix. I think they've got their eye on a few key guys for the 2025 class from the high school ranks. They've already brought several in for visits, and I think they're going to sprinkle a few of those in. Look, every team needs a Pop Isaacs that you kind of bring in here and then they play and they're kind of here and help you set your culture. Like Kansas, Dewan Harris, an Iowa State with a Taman Lipsey, a Houston with a Jamal Shedd, but then you sprinkle it in with portal and all that. And so I think in the immediate, you're going to get after the portal here pretty quickly because that thing opens up. I think it's a week from today, man, that window. And I think you'll be active early and often there with trying to fill out your roster and all those things, even though you may still be playing, you will be playing,
Will.
One more. But no, I'm not concerned at all. I mean, not even in the slightest. Yeah. So I just want to make sure that everybody knows where I'm at. So
one more looking towards the future question from Kelly, and then we'll look towards this next week. How do you think our offense and defense will look differently with a full roster next year?
Well, I think ideally you wouldn't have to play certain guys 33 to 34 minutes a night. I think you worry about them breaking down over a period of time, specifically in this league. And keep in mind, next year, this league is going to be a week longer, and you're going to go, you know, 20-round fight instead of an 18-round fight. And so I think you want, you know, I mentioned that it's kind of like Noah's Ark. You want two of everything. You're going to want some depth and size, and you're going to want to be able to withstand an injury should you get it, the flu, should your team deal with it. But yeah, you will. I think offensively you see kind of what they want to do, but they'll cater it to what collection of parts that they are able to come up with, and defensively same way. But this is going to be a mainly up-tempo, spread it out. I think it's fascinating too, because remember everybody had Grant labeled as like, dude, so we're going to try to win games in the 50s. Like, oh, this ought to be a lot of fun. I mean, they have one of the best offenses in the Big 12 Conference.
Yeah.
Based on it's quality of good coaching, man. They knew what they had, and they're like, okay, yeah, we want to be elite on defense, but this group may be better as a fast-paced and all that. But I think you ultimately won't know until you collect the parts, you know, and then put them together. And then even then you'll adjust as you go on kind of what we thought would work. Maybe we need to tweak it, or they've even done that in the last 2 to 3 weeks without Warren.
Yeah.
You know, they've absolutely adjusted what they do on offense and all those things. So
absolutely. So Level, looking ahead to the next week ahead, we still don't know what all it holds, but between now and the next time you and I talk, Texas Tech will play in the Big 12 tournament. We know as the 4 seed, potentially against BYU, but could be UCF or Oklahoma State. You'll play, and then we'll have however long that tournament lasts. Then Sunday, we have Selection Sunday. What do you think Texas Tech has played their seed line in the tournament, the big dance, into up to this point?
Yeah, you know, I even think if you were to lose Thursday morning, I don't know if you're going to get dinged too much. I think you're anywhere. I've seen some people have you, I think CBS, like as at the time you and I are sitting here talking, I think they have you as like a 5.
Yeah.
That's a bit high to me. I don't know if that is reality or if that's, I mean, maybe it is, but then I've seen others that have you as low as like an 8. I think that win over Baylor was fairly significant on your resume. It moves you up in the net rankings by 5 spots, which is the ranking that the selection committee looks at. It was another quad 1 win. And then it gets you the double bye. So you're going to get some extra rest, and you're going to get to play somebody on Thursday at the Big 12 tournament that has just played a game the day before, which is a benefit to you. The extra day is a benefit to Warren, and just in general, with the thought that you can really put your best foot forward and try to win this conference tournament.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny, because I mean, I was, most of the projections throughout Saturday until the BYU Oklahoma State game was finished, it had Kansas in that 5 spot, to which I'm thinking, oh yeah, like I was ready to welcome that, because Kevin McCullough and Hunter Dickinson are very questionable going into the tournament. I was like, man, I'm not sure when the last time I was looking forward to a game versus Kansas, but this would have been it.
Sure.
But unfortunately, you're going to get I think UCF will beat Oklahoma State. And then I hope that UCF and BYU beat the heck out of each other. I think BYU probably wins that game. And then that's a tough, tough test. BYU is really good. BYU is a team that really can cause some problems in the NCAA tournament, because their style is so unique, especially if they hit threes. They're an older team. It's a deeper team. You know, they can hit shots. And having said all that, if you were to win that one, you're going to get another bump, because BYU's net is like, I think, 12 or 13 right now.
Right now.
They are very high.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right.
They are, and you.
I think you're probably sitting around a six right now, and you don't get dinged with a loss to BYU, but I think you could move into that five territory with a win over BYU, because that would be another quad one win.
Yep, I don't disagree, even though it's on neutral court, because of how high their net ranking is. So
yeah,
kind of makes for a fun situation, because it's like, hey man, let it all hang out there. And you know, we don't know what Warren's situation. I'll just put it this way. I'm going to be really surprised if he doesn't play on Thursday.
Okay.
I think they've purposely waited and tried to give him as much time. I can't say for sure. I mean, we won't ultimately know, but I'm going to be really surprised if he doesn't play on Thursday and give it a go. And it's tricky when you're working a guy back in. Because it's that part. I I'd be willing to bet you this. I bet if he does play, I bet he doesn't start.
Okay.
I bet they stick with the same starting. Again, I'm just guessing, but I bet that's how this game is played. Is you kind of work him in and kind of get him back in the groove a little bit, but don't feel like that it's all on him, or that you other guys have to defer. Okay, we got to get the big fella involved. No, I think they'll just try to do it as smooth as possible, and it's tricky. Because there's an adjustment to make when you lose a guy, but there's also an adjustment you have to make when you work a guy back in, and all that. But the best thing about Warren's injury, as frustrating as it's been for him and for all involved, is I think Robert Jennings and Emily Alajo have really showed you that they can help you, and there's something there with those guys when they're playing well and playing hard. It's not like Warren, but now you feel a bit better about your just a situation in general. If Warren can't play or play at the level that you needed, because you've got some pieces over there that can help you.
For sure. For sure. All right. A couple more items before we close this one down level. Football starts next week. We'll have Texas Tech football spring practices starting next week, and someone did ask the question. This one is for John.
I think it's on Wednesday of next week, so the day before the NCAA tournament starts is your first practice?
I think that's correct. Yeah. So football spring practices start, and John asks, they released the scrimmage dates. Are the other two scrimmages besides the spring game in Midland open to the public?
Man, I'm going to say that I doubt it, other than Midland, just because of one of these will be like piggybacked with a coaching clinic. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a ton of like high school or just coaches in general that are there.
Yeah.
But I'd be willing to bet you that because of the construction still ongoing, they'll try to keep as many people away as possible. If I was guessing, I don't know for sure. Hence the reason you're going to go play the thing in Midland when it's just open for right. Whoever wants to show up and watch it. And we're going to do, John Harris and I will do some TV for that one as well. But that would be my guess. And that would be the reason why. Because the first scrimmage is on a Friday. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's coaching clinic weekend or not. And then the other one is the Saturday before the spring game. And the way that this will work is typically – I think it's the one, the Saturday before is kind of like what they'll term internally is like the real one.
Yeah.
You know, like we may go really hard at it and do some different things on that one. Whereas we won't show certain things, you know, the following time because it's on TV and we don't want anybody looking at what we're doing. And
right.
And that kind of game that has to be played. So,
yeah. All makes sense there. So that will start up. Yeah, Level mentioned it. The first scrimmage Friday, the March 29th. The second one will be Saturday, April 13th. And then, of course, the spring game is April 20th from Midland. And that one is for sure open to the public. One more question before we get out, Level. So Tech Baseball loses 2 of 3 to Texas over the weekend. But there was a...
I know.
All three of the last three against Texas, football, basketball, baseball,
the ones here, and football, right. But you know, the one bright spot was you go to
Yeah,
that was to Austin and punched them in the mouth right as the conference season was getting going and won
yeah, but
in
all of
fashion.
the
but yeah,
all of the last games
yeah,
have
fair.
I hate it. But anyway, so there was a little kerfuffle during the game yesterday, and that's what this question is referencing. Gasparino ran through the back of Gavin Cash, and most of the time you see guys, you know, trying to hug him or hold him up, just try to make the contact as light as possible, but Gasparino clearly does a two-handed shove. And the question from Matt says, does baseball need a rule change? Because Brock Cunningham got kicked out of the game with a cheap shot there, but in baseball you can get tossed for barking at the other team, but not for shoving someone in the back.
And the way the rule is written, though, is that it's his baseline and he can run through the bag.
Yep.
You know, there's some gray area here to where, you know, the way, like, as you just stated a second ago, typically what's done here is, you know, this and that. Well, this wasn't typical.
No.
I think this is what makes college sports fun, though, because it created a little spice, and then you ended up, you know, what, with back-to-back home runs, I guess, the following inning and
yep,
and all that stuff. I don't know how you umpire intent. You know, by the letter, see, like, I think the difference between the basketball and the baseball thing is that they deemed that Brock Cunningham was not a basketball play. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that he did that was trying to make a play to get the ball. No, he just checked a guy. But in baseball, the way the rule is written, unless I'm misunderstanding it,
right.
It's like you are taught to run through the bag, and that's what he was doing. Now, was there a little spice and mustard on it? Absolutely, and that's what everybody has an issue with. I wish there was a way to protect the defender or the infielder there a bit more. And you wish that, you know, the base runner would not try to put a little extra on it, because that's how something bad could happen, whether it be a brawl or somebody gets hurt or whatever. But the way the rule is written, it's hard for the umpires to go, you know, intent, because their job is not to see the double T of the Longhorn logo and understand the dynamics at play. They're just trying to referee or umpire the rules as written and all that. So I don't know if I'm talking around it, but I think you get what I'm saying. I don't, that one's a bit tricky there.
It is tricky. I don't know. I don't know what you do if there's a rule change that can be made, and they can review that like you do in college basketball, or
because it's hard to, it's hard to referee or umpire intent. What did he mean to do? Well, we kind of saw what he meant to do, but do we really know? And did he break a rule? You know, did he break a rule and, like, you know, get out of the baseline and truck a guy? Did he, you know, and there's a lot of unwritten's in baseball more than any other sport.
Absolutely.
That maybe was what people have an issue with here. But
yeah,
it's just frustrating, because, I mean, if you'd won that game, I wouldn't care about it, but you lost it, and it just makes you frustrated. And it comes on the heels of number 30 on the basketball team being a dirty player. So,
yep.
You know, and like the rule written, and they've tried to they've included this in the rule book, and this is how this game is policed, though, is you throw one at his chin the next time up. And yet if they deem intent there, and they are kind of
exactly,
you know,
yeah,
then you get you pop four games.
Yeah. And then, I mean, last year, you go back to last year, Brandon Beckel in the previous series against Oklahoma State is yelling things at the Oklahoma State dugout, not condoning that he should have, but he gets the same four games for yelling words, and there's physical contact that could have resulted in injury. We're talking all about safety these days, and it's gray area, like you said, and it's a difficult situation. There may not be a right answer as it sits right now, but anyway,
and you just send somebody out there that maybe you weren't going to use anyways, and just say hello with the with the high fast one, you know.
Maybe so.
And Tech may be very sensitive to that because of what's happened to one of their players too. I don't know. We're just talking it out here.
Yep. Just talking it out. But anyway, overall, really good weekend. Didn't even mention and should have mentioned it early. Wes Kitley, the goat around Texas Tech. People throw the term goat around way too much, but truly, goat Wes Kitley wins another national title, the first indoor one for Texas Tech. What an awesome thing. And I mean, there is no one that epitomizes Texas Tech better than Coach Kitley.
Yeah, Lubbock and West Texas. Yeah. And if anybody deserved to have something named after him or for him, it's Wes Kitley, because he's now, I mean, league titles, national championships, plural.
Yep.
This is rare air, man. And, you know, and he's been here for so long, and he's what this place is all about. And, yeah, I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed watching him get to enjoy this much success, because, and it's not like it's going away anytime soon either. I mean, he's rolling.
Yeah.
And he's turned this into a premium track and field job and program in the country. Cause it's like, if you look at the football or basketball equivalent, like, he's rolling against the Kansases and the Dukes and Kentuckys and the, you know, whoever you want to trot out there from a basketball equivalent, and the Bamas and the Ohio States and the Michigans and the Georgias and all that, and just beating them. I mean, just straight up beating them. And little old Lubbock, Texas, man, you know, but yeah, the goat is right. And I said this as soon as they won it, but I mean, I truly feel this way. Living legend.
Yeah.
You know, he's here. You can touch him, see him, watch him work. And you just, you know, yeah, I just don't know if enough people have appreciated what he's been able to accomplish here.
No, he truly makes me proud as a Red Raider. And it is awesome to see what he's done. And he's a fantastic person, too. So it just puts the cherry on top. But, yeah, and like you said, it's not slowing down. He'll have a chance to win another one in Eugene in the outdoors, because this team's going to translate well to that as well. So
if you're not first, you're last. And you know, it's like Ricky Bobby and that Talladega Night. I just want to go fast again. And his boys can go fast.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we're running out of time, but winning it with sprinting too, which is what they do, makes it even more fun. Just to watch. So
yeah, I love it.
Yep. Level. Enjoyed it. We'll talk to you. We'll know where you're headed for the NCAA tournament the next time we talk.
Yeah, sounds good, man. I look forward to what the week brings, and then look forward to where you are sent the following week. Brooklyn, Charlotte, Omaha, Salt Lake City. I'm not even sure where all the other spots are, but looking forward to it. Appreciate it and enjoy it, because it doesn't happen every year. You're not guaranteed anything. Yep. But thank you to Cantex Roofing. Woodman, appreciate it. Keep hope alive, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
That's Chris Lovell. I'm Choice Woodman. It's been the Ask Level Podcast, brought to you by Double T 97.3.
You've been listening to the Ask Level Podcast, powered by Double T 97.3.